I thought about this passage of Scripture, and I feel like maybe I need to entitle it Two Messages in One, because there's two separate thoughts here. So we're going to talk about how the gospel changes our view of others, and then we're going to talk about the subject of unanswered prayer. So let's put aside the second thought for just a moment, and we'll think about the first one, how the gospel of Jesus Christ shapes our thoughts of others. So if the gospel is the most life-changing message in all the world, then shouldn't the gospel change how we view and think of others? It was William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, and back then when he founded it, had a strong gospel mission. In his later years, he was asked to attend a conference, and he was unable to do so. So they asked if he would just send a telegram with a message to address the people, and he did. And that telegram simply said, "Others." We have that sign in our missions hallway among the quotes, "Others." So I want us to think about how the gospel shapes our view of others today. First of all, Paul was thankful for others. Look at verse 8. He writes and says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So Paul says to these Roman Christians, "I thank God for you." We ask the question, why? Well, he says he heard about their contagious faith in Jesus Christ. It was spreading. Their faith was not stagnant. Their faith was actually spreading. And, you know, when we hear of others succeeding or being recognized, are we immediately jealous or do we give thanks to God? I think we've all been in that position before where we hear of the success of someone else and immediately we think, well, that should have been me. I should be the one recognized. But the gospel shapes our view differently. It should shape our view differently. And I think we've all struggled at times with a jealous spirit. I know I have at times. But we should view this very differently. When God uses others, it should really speak loudly to us something. It should say this to us, you know what? I'm not alone in the work of God. I'm not the only one. God has a family. God has a team. And it's bigger than me. That's one of the things I love about teen camp is when we go, our teens go to camp and they look around at all these other teens from youth departments and it makes us realize we're not the only teens trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There are actually others out here. So Paul was always giving thanks for others. Here's just a sampling of what he said about others. "I, Paul, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He wrote that to the Ephesians. "I thank God, my God, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy." He wrote that to the Philippian church. "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer." He wrote that to in Philemon. So Paul was thankful for others. And here's a second thing. Paul prayed for others. Look at verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." So not only was Paul thankful, but he was genuinely thankful. And one of the ways he expressed that was he prayed for people. Paul viewed himself as a servant of God, which he was. And how is one way in which he served God is he prayed for others. I was doing a search online in preparation for this message, and I entered the question, "Give a list with scripture reference of those who Paul prayed for or mentioned that he prayed for." And the result I got was the list was too numerous to mention in this message. He prayed for the Roman believers. He prayed for the Corinthian believers. He prayed for the Ephesian believers, the Colossian believers, the Thessalonian believers. He prayed for Philemon. He prayed for Timothy. He prayed for Onesiphorus. He prayed for Titus. And we don't have time to read all the passages where Paul said, I'm praying for you. You're in my prayers. If you see someone struggling, going through difficulty, or battling sin, maybe they're off track in their spiritual life, maybe you can't help them or change them, but Jesus Christ can. So pray for them. Here's what you can do for somebody who's struggling or battling or off track. It's Jesus who changes their hearts, but you can pray for them. Have you ever had this happen? You're just going along. Maybe you're at work, you're doing your job, or you're just driving. And just someone pops into your head, somebody you just were not thinking about. Someone just pops into your head. Not even a thought about them, just there they are though. I guarantee you something. The devil didn't put that person in your heart. God did that. And that person needs your prayers. Maybe you know what it is. You're thinking about the person now. Or maybe you have no clue what it is. But God put that person into your mind to pray for them at that moment, for whatever it might be. So as you're working, as you're driving, pray for the person. Don't close your eyes while you're driving, but do pray for them. So here's the third way in which the gospel shaped Paul's view of others. Paul wanted to encourage others. We're going to read verse 10 through 13. He says, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So Paul is saying, I want to come to you. This is my desire. I want to be there with you. I want to train you further. I want to help you. I want to do something for you. I want to teach you about things of the Lord because I want you to be even more established. Your faith is spreading, but I want you to be established. I want to give you something more. And then when I come together, our mutual faith, it'll actually encourage us both being together. So by being a blessing to these Roman Christians, it would be a blessing to him as well. Have you ever had this thought before? Let's be honest. I just don't feel like church is a blessing to me. I just don't feel like people in the church care about me. I just don't feel appreciated. And that's why some are discouraged, some are down, some are sitting at home today because of this view. Here's a very practical thought. Rather than waiting for someone to invest in you, you invest in someone else. And when you do, something amazing is going to happen. There is going to be a mutual blessing for both of you. And Jesus also is going to be glorified in the church when you invest in somebody else. So now that's the first part of the message. And here's the second part of the message, and I think it'll be helpful because many people have dealt with this subject before. And the second part of the message, the two messages in one, here's the second part. What do you do when God doesn't answer a prayer? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many has ever had that happen before? You prayed for something. You desire something. And God just doesn't answer it. That never happens, does it? Well, it does happen. We all know it happens. It happened to Paul. Not all prayers get answered. Here was Paul's prayer desire. We're going to read these verses again, but look at what he desires here. Look at verse 10 through 12. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He says, here's what I'm asking for. Here's what I hope is God's will. I want to come to the church at Rome. He says in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. He says, I've heard about you. I've never seen this church, but I want to come because I want to invest in you. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. He says, I just want to be among the fellowship of believers in the Roman church. That is my desire. That is what I'm asking God for. He says, I have prayed and sought God's will to come to you because I want to be with you in person and encourage you and help you to grow further. And there's nothing wrong with that. That was not a bad desire. That was a good thing. But here's what Paul said about this prayer and desire in verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you. He says, I planned it different times. I desire to do it on different occasions. He puts a parenthesis here, but was led hitherto. He said, I was led somewhere else. Those times I wanted to come to the Church of Rome, I planned it. It was on the calendar. I'm going to come, but God led me somewhere else. And he goes, ends the parentheses, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He said, I want to come and invest in you and see some spiritual fruit there. So Paul says, I planned to come, I wanted to come, but I was prevented from coming. And think about this prayer. It was a good prayer. It was a good desire. There was nothing selfish about it, nothing wrong about it. This was Paul's heart, to minister to people. But it was an unanswered prayer. And here's the question. Why do good prayers go unanswered? I read some answers. I was reading an expositional commentary by the late James Montgomery Boyce, and he has this massive expositional commentary on Romans, four volumes long. And in that commentary, he gave some ideas that I want to share with you. I'll just share some of them. Maybe sometimes prayers go unanswered to, first of all, humble us. Do you ever think about that? We're not as big as we think we are. And these Roman Christians were doing spiritually well without Paul. Yes, without the Apostle Paul being there in person. Yes, he wrote them. That letter was a help, but no doubt he could have been a blessing had he been there. But they were doing well without Paul. But we realize that something, that God is much bigger than we are. You believe that? It's true. And he has other means, other plans, other ways, other people to accomplish his work. And when he does, it humbles us. And we have to, by faith, trust him to use those other people to accomplish what he wants accomplished rather than us. Number two, it causes us to seek him to use other people. Sometimes others can reach and connect with people that we cannot connect with and reach. We can't always be the answer to everything. So we pray, God, if you don't use me, use somebody else. Use so-and-so. Maybe you have somebody specific. Use somebody else to do this. Maybe there's a relative, or maybe there's a son, or maybe there's a daughter that you would love to reach or love to help them understand spiritual truth and to grow in the Lord, but they won't listen to you. They won't connect with you. So here's what you do. You pray to God to send someone else into their life to accomplish that work. that God would send a Christian into their life to connect with them, to help them. God, if it's not me, then I'm going to pray that maybe someone else that you will raise up and send into their life to connect with them and help them in this area. God, I'm going to keep trying, but in the meantime, I'm going to pray that someone else will come into their life to help them. We don't know exactly who it was that helped these Roman Christians, but it wasn't Paul. Somebody else did. Paul will do what he can and write a letter, but he's not going to be able to go to them in person. And number three, God may have other work for us to do. What we are praying for with a very good desire isn't exactly what God would have us to do. He has something else. And again, Paul said, I've wanted to come, but the work that I'm doing has hindered me from coming to you. Maybe later I can come. You know, a delay in a prayer or a flat-out no from God may just be an open door somewhere else. Here's the advice that Boyce gives in this expositional commentary. He says, if you are praying for someone and God is not answering your request with a yes, ask what you can accomplish in the meantime and give yourself to that. It does not mean that God will not give you what you're asking for eventually, but in the meantime, you will be doing a good work. I believe I experienced this years ago as an assistant pastor. I was on staff at Shawnee Baptist there in Louisville. I was married in 2002. And when I got married, I began to seek to pastor a church. I had the opportunity to preach for a pulpit search team. A friend of mine invited me to his church where the pulpit search team came. And they heard me preach, and they flat out rejected me. Too young, too inexperienced. I was so crushed. It crushed me. Looking back, I think the Lord preserved me because these were the men on this pulpit search committee, however many it was, five or six. Only one man brought his Bible with him. Back then, they didn't have it on the phone. So it showed me their view of God's Word was very minimal. Looking back, I think the Lord protected me, but you're too young, you're too inexperienced. I was just crushed. And it would be another year before I had an opportunity. I didn't know that. And I had grown restless there at Shawnee in the children's ministry, actually somewhat discouraged, working with bus kids. My schedule was I'd show up early in the morning to get the buses going. And then I would run a bus route. And then I'd come back immediately and teach a Sunday school class of children. And then immediately do a bus children's church where I was the referee. I mean, the children's pastor. And then after that, I'd run the buses home. Then I had to go pay the gas bill. And then I had to come back. And then we had a bus captain's meeting at nighttime. I was growing restless, discouraged. So when I was rejected, it was a blow. What I did was I prayed, and I decided to give my heart to the ministry where I was serving in. I said, okay, Lord, if you're not going to move me right now, refresh my heart with these kids. And I intentionally decided to love those kids. And God did refresh my heart, and it ended up being a fruitful year. And then God opened the door to a pastorate in South Carolina at the time. Just not when I thought I wanted it or needed it later. Paul finally did get to go to Rome, just not in the way he envisioned, but in the way God chose. He went as a prisoner. The Roman church, it was doing well. They received his letter, they were doing well. And God would use Paul to speak the gospel in a different place where others could not reach, and that was in Caesar's palace. And knowing Paul, from what I read in the scriptures, he would have boldly presented the gospel to Caesar himself if Caesar was hearing his case. Maybe God will give you what you're praying for. Maybe he won't. Maybe something entirely different. But here's the thing. God is all wise. And we trust his wisdom. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,